Welcome to Business Ninjas, brought to you by Right For Me, where you'll hear from business leaders who are out there growing their business and slaying it every day. Learn from the masters. Let's get started.
Hey, everybody. This is Max Pittman from Right For Me, and you're listening to another episode of the Business Ninjas podcast, where we meet the experts who are scaling their businesses. And today, we're talking about Tantra with Mehul Desai, who is the co-founder and chairman at Tantra. Mehul, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Max. Thank you to you and Right For Me for this opportunity. Very much looking forward to this conversation and engaging with your audience. So thanks again.
Absolutely. We appreciate you being here. And, you've been in this world for a very long time and you've been a serial entrepreneur from getting to know you. So, I've gotten to know you a little bit, but I'd love it if you can kind of tell us a little bit about your role, why you started Tantra and a little bit of the origin story behind the organization yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Max. Yes, I am, ancient. If you look at it that way, but I've been at this now for about 30 years. So I live and work out of Florida now, but for a good part have been living and working out of Chicago. Was born in Chicago, trained as a telecommunication engineer. And in the early 90s, by sheer accident, stumbled into what the world now calls fintech. Back then, no one called it that. We just, as technocrats, apply technology to reduce friction in the financial world. But I had an opportunity in the early 90s to do a lot of interesting work, initially on digital wallets, which led to mobile wallets, mobile commerce, mobile payments. I'm assuming your audience is much younger. So they may not remember a world, or they may not be able to relate to a world without cell phones. But that's when we actually started working on digital payments. And so clearly, as mobility kind of started to evolve and cell phones were upon us, we moved our model over from digital wallets to building an all software infrastructure to facilitate all kinds of secure transactions. Mm-hmm. And so I had an opportunity to do a lot of early work in the space, filed a lot of patents, built a lot of tech, got to do deployments across every major market in the world, and got to work with all large infrastructure providers, from carriers, banks, merchants, to smaller technology companies. When we started this company, this was my first company, by the way. When we started this company, just like a lot of first-time entrepreneurs, we thought it would take 3 to 5 years. Well, guess what? It took about 20. I wouldn't change anything about those 20 years. So I got to learn and do so much. And, along the way, got to make a lot of friends like you. And so as I look back, those 20 years, which were very formative for me, just gave me an opportunity to learn. When the time came, we had an opportunity to sell the company. So we sold that company to MasterCard. Right after that, I started up a few more companies. Friends, colleagues from around the world came to me with their ideas. And in a short span of a few years, I ended up with about 10, 12 different companies, kind of mixed bag, had an opportunity again to sell a few of them, shut down a couple of them, which didn't seem to be going right, kind of put a few on the back burner. And in the process, I kind of realized that what I really enjoy doing, Max, is kind of what I call the 0 to 10. I love taking ideas. A lot of times they're, my own ideas, or many a times they actually come from my network, folks that I've known, I work with. And I just love taking ideas. I file a lot of patents. I have over 100 patents issued here in the US, maybe a couple hundred still on file, just out of sheer discipline, saying if it's something which hasn't been done before, step one, file a patent. And what that does is it allows me to kind of build a lot more robust business plan, and then turn it into a product and eventually spin it off into a company. And once again, some of them have worked and some of them have not. And so that's kind of largely what I've been doing over the last 30 years. Probably the only exception to this is I got pulled into building a fintech narrative initially for a large financial services group, then got an opportunity to take them public on the London Stock Exchange. And then frankly, a huge, let's just call it a scandal, hit their parent group. And in the process, I got to kind of witness that as well. So in a short span of 3 years, got a tremendous education at scale. But outside of that, frankly, everything else that I've done is once again in what I call the 0 to 10 space.
Incredible. Quite the history. You could probably give a whole history lesson or, you know, class, I'm sure, at Harvard about telecommunications engineers.
I wouldn't go that far. No, I as I tell friends, I've just been blessed. I've had tremendous exposure. Once again, along the way, I've just met so many interesting people. I've gotten to do so many interesting things. I've practically worked and deployed technology across every major market. Mm-hmm. I've had an opportunity to work. I mean, like I said, as much as largely what I ended up doing was in the fintech space. So bulk of it was for financial services, for retail applications. I also got to dabble in healthcare. We built one of the world's first mobile portable health records for a large diagnostics company. We got to do social programs for governments at scale. So I just got to learn and work across so many interesting industries. And really, that's kind of how I view myself today. I kind of view myself as a technocrat, trying to find ways to apply technology to solve interesting problems.
Love it. Yeah, turning products into companies is what you've been doing, right, for the last 30 years. And now you're at Tantra. And I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I know we've all imagined pitching ideas on Shark Tank, maybe even yourself, maybe being the shark yourself. So I'd love it if you can kind of give me Tantra's elevator pitch. Like what problems are you guys solving for your customers?
Sure. So at its core, Tantra has been designed as I would call it a unique innovation ecosystem. I know all three of these words are used a lot, okay. And they're used in most instances in a very broad sense. In my case, kind of to add a little bit more color to that, at kind of the beginning of 2020, when really the pandemic was upon us and, you know, the whole world was experiencing very different kind of stress, different kind of stress for different people in so many different ways. And in my case, that kind of came to head with one of the companies that I was working on, which wasn't going as well. And so, frankly, it started in the form of just looking for a creative outlet. I just needed something positive in my life to happen on a daily basis. Practically 18 to 20 hours of my day were going towards not so fun things. I kind of try to look for the education in everything I do. But frankly, it wasn't fun. It was highly stressful. And so I started to take a step back. And by then, as I mentioned earlier, I'd already worked on a lot of individual product ideas. And once again, some of them had worked and some of them had not, just the nature of how these things go. To your point earlier, yes, I'd invested in companies. I support incubators, I mentor companies in different environments. So I'd kind of been on both sides of, you know, pitching an idea, looking for investors, partners, customers, employees, and the other way around, kind of helping people who come to me with ideas either to get funded or for mentorship. So I'd been on both sides of that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of said that, look, if I took a step back of all the experience and all the time that I'd spent running around the world, how could I kind of pull all of this together? And what would I take away from that? That's really how the Tantra origin story started in early 2020. And I said that, frankly, what really intrigues me is innovation. I had seen, experienced, participated in lots of different innovative platforms, forums, you know, products, companies, you name it. And I said that, look, if I had to take all of that learning and if I had to find a way to do innovation differently, more efficiently, in a more sustainable way, how would I go about doing it? And that is really the Tantra origin story. And so bit by bit, literally over a span of, I want to say about 3 months, it was really that first quarter of 2020, I kind of started to put together on my whiteboard, kind of what would be the building blocks if I had to do innovation at a global level, I would say in a unique way. And I kind of framed what I call the 5 plus 5 plus 5, as in I said 5 building blocks. As in, I would definitely need engineering because you need the nuts and bolts. Two, I would have a very different kind of incubator. Once again, I I participated in, and I support incubators around the world. So I'd kind of already picked up a few different flavors, but the second building block would be an incubator. The third would be a venture fund, albeit a very different kind, having raised money on kind of, you know, both sides of this. You know, there are parts of the VC and PE and fundraising world that I think are very good, very important, very productive. But then there are parts of it that I feel very strongly do not serve the purpose of the innovation per se. And, you know, over time, obviously, products become companies and companies have shareholders and employees. And, you know, I understand that dynamic. But when I look at the core of innovation, I don't think there's a big mismatch over there. So I said, okay, the third thing I would frame would be our own way of venture funding. The fourth would be what I call an enterprise platform, which can automate parts of innovation. Clearly, not all of innovation can be automated. It's always going to be part science, part art. But the parts which can be automated, the science part, okay, let's find a way to automate it. So the fourth component became an enterprise platform. And the fifth, which is probably the most important, at least in my mind, is how do you embed the innovation mindset in people? At the end of the day, Max, people like you and me innovate. Machines don't innovate. And so we can automate as much as we can, and we can put best practices and methodologies and what have you into the mix. But at the end of the day, people need a mindset. And so for all my companies, as I look back, literally over a span of 30 years, I've never recruited people. I've never believed in recruitment. I've always believed in bringing people on board, saying, Max, look, I think you have a fantastic idea. Or the other way around, Max, I have a great idea. I think if you and I are philosophically aligned, why don't we both find ways to build this out, right? I've always found a way to bring people on board. I've always found a way to build people. Not to sound obnoxious. And so the fifth component of my kind of innovation ecosystem kind of became the academy where we would build people. So with these five building blocks, engineering, incubation, venture fund, an enterprise platform, and an academy to build people, I said, okay, now what verticals do we look at? And that largely depended on where I could build domain expertise. So because of the work that I'd done, you know, prior to that, and because of my global network, I very quickly pulled in deep domain experts in fintech, health tech, IoT, supply chain, and new economy. And new economy kind of became a little bit of our catch-all, saying if we find something which is interesting that has legs to run for the next 10 years, we think we can add value over there, we'll jump into it. And then with this, I said, okay, frankly, what are the parts of the world that I've enjoyed working in the most, where I've enjoyed my interactions, where I have, you know, let's say a good network, where I have great memories of, you know, again, collaborating and building interesting things. So clearly the US became one region, parts of Europe, okay, parts of the Middle East, Singapore, Asia, India, and then Japan, right? And so we kind of organized our markets into five regions. And so that's really what Tantra is. So I know this was kind of a longish elevator ride, maybe to the top of Willis Towers in Chicago, but you know, my point being that Tantra is really an innovation ecosystem. We have five lines of business, engineering, incubation, ventures, enterprise platform, and the academy. You know, to answer your question, we engage with people through all five. So for example, if someone is looking for engineering services, we'll engage with engineering. And at some point, if they start showing interest in, you know what, we need help building our own people. Can we use your academy? You know, engineering can also then bring in the academy. If they need venture funding, and if it kind of fits the mold, the venture guys come and get involved. But essentially, these are five standalone businesses with their own business models and really their own leaders who kind of run them on a standalone basis. The horizontal piece is clearly the domain piece. So we have the ability to bring in that deep domain expertise across all of these different lines of business, regardless of where a potential engagement comes in. And then markets are markets. So we're already working in all of these five markets around the world. We're very active in North America. We're active in parts of Europe. We're active in Singapore and parts of Southeast Asia, in Japan, and then finally India and parts of the Middle East. So we kind of have the five regions where we're already in play. A lot further along with engineering, incubation, ventures, the enterprise platform is being built out and it will mature over the next 12 to 24 months. And then the academy is already in play. We've started to graduate cohorts for our own needs. And over the next 12 months, we kind of envision putting it up on a standalone basis across multiple verticals as well.
Gotcha. I mean, when I heard unique innovation ecosystem, like, okay, what the heck does that mean, right? so I appreciate I appreciate you helping me in understanding like what those building blocks are to that ecosystem that you've created. It sounds like really interesting. And I think from my perspective, I'm like, okay, how do you guys make money? What is the revenue? Where's the revenue coming from? Like from the outside looking in, sometimes it's always kind of hard to tell, you know, how you guys are generating revenue. Is it from your enterprise platform? Is it from your engineering services? Like where is like the revenue stream actually being generated from? Because I'm hearing a lot of different things you guys are doing, great things, but like, where's the money actually coming in from?
So actually it comes in from all five yeah. business units. Engineering is all professional services because it is a professional service. So when we provide engineering support, whether it's for IP-led products or it's for mature legacy systems which need software services, we also have our own set of methodologies from helping companies figure out their patent portfolio strategy to a fintech methodology to a supply chain methodology. So the engineering part, Max, is professional services. It's fairly straightforward in terms of, you know, the business model and how we make money. The venture fund is the venture fund. That's where we actually invest in companies.
Right.
And unlike a lot of other funds out there, we don't have a platform fee approach. The way we've structured our fund is a little different. And the main reason for that is, as I said earlier, we wanted to align the investment philosophy with the innovation which is on hand. So the point is that we'll get involved mainly or largely, I would say, in early stage companies where we think we can bring in a lot more than the money, saying that can we come in as Tantra and offer up as many different components of our innovation ecosystem? Can we support the founder, the founding team, to actually build the concept, product, eventually company out? And if we can align with the timeline that we envision of that, we frankly then try very hard not to put a quote unquote exit pressure on that founding team, saying, you know what, we now have a good understanding of the pace. We obviously have a good understanding of the innovation that you have on hand. We like the way you're doing it. If you see value in what everything Tantra can bring, we would love to use our venture fund to put some money in there, and then we'll work with you. Obviously, we'll take equity, okay, but we'll work with you to build the company out. And so now, again, the business model there is simple, right? As and when that company sees some kind of an exit, Tantra as ventures will see some appreciation on it. The enterprise platform is a SaaS offering. It's not yet in market for outside companies. Like I said, it will mature over the next 12 to 24 months. Okay, but as and when it's offered, it will be offered as a platform. It will be offered as a software as a service, platform as a service. And so effectively, it will be a licensing-based, subscription-based model. Mm-hmm. Gurukul is the one which is probably most, I would say, multifaceted, multidimensional in the business model. So once again, so far, the academy is all in-house. We're building our own people and we're graduating our own cohorts. Over the next 12 months, we do envision it being offered up on a standalone basis to other verticals. We already have two kind of, you know, non-Tantra verticals who have approached us on their own who want to work with us for the academy. And there it's going to be a combination of a subscription model, because at the end of the day, the real value proposition of academy is for the individual. So the idea with the academy is, Max, once you sign up with that academy, you basically have the academy ID for life. As in, you may go from one environment to another, okay, but at the end of the day, the academy is always going to help you learn regardless of where you go. And that's the way we're building the academy model out. So the business model for that, once again, will be more like a SaaS model, a subscription-based model. So look, again, little complicated answer, but all five businesses have their own business model. And really, it sounds a lot because I'm obviously trying to give you the breadth of this. But let's say if you were an engineering customer, you know, let's say you and I were riding the elevator together and you say, okay, what does Tantra do? And I'm like, you know, it's an innovation ecosystem. And you're like, okay, what does that mean? And I'm like, well, if you need help with engineering, we can give you engineering services. If you want to incubate, you know, we'll stand up our incubator around you. If you're looking for venture funding, and if it aligns with our philosophy, we could potentially invest in you. And so based on that, if you now tell me, yeah, I think I could use engineering services, I'll immediately steer you down that specific path, right? And if you say, hold on, what's this academy about? That sounds interesting. I mean, obviously, I would love to build people. You know, I need people, and I'm struggling with manpower, and I'm struggling to find kind of qualified people. On one hand, I see that, you know, everyone's out there, knowledge workers, you know, are running around doing interesting things. But then when it comes to my own idea, I'm always struggling. What's your academy? I'll kind of take you down a different path.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense that all five would obviously have kind of their own business model. And when thinking about, like, is a focus for revenue, is it potentially today going to be around the engineering services and getting those services in front of fintech and health tech? Like, is there a focus, I guess, on any which of those building blocks that you've built your ecosystem around? And then if so, like, what is, you mentioned like the verticals, but like, who is like the target audience? Like, who are the types of people that, you know, you want to be partnering up with for your engineering services?
Great. So yes, we just historically, to be honest, we just got going with engineering services first. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're kind of further along. And, you know, mm-hmm. frankly, from a strategy standpoint, because it's professional services, okay, clearly that's where, you know, the growth is going to lead everything else, right? Saying that if the company grows and we kind of bring in more and more customers, partners, then that is going to give us a reason to grow the infrastructure and the offering and the team and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot easier thing to kind of envision building out. And so we're just further along over the last about two and a half years when it comes to engineering services. As far as the other kind of offerings are concerned, we have made a few interesting venture deals. So far two of the three things that we've done is very early stage. One is a little further along. There are a few more in the pipeline. Because we don't have a fund by design that we went out and raised, frankly, I have no pressure, as in I don't have to do what my colleague on the venture side calls, you know, kind of spray and pray, like a lot of funds, saying I've raised $100 million, I have 5 years, I need to find investments, let's quickly put this money to work. And then the following 5 years are going to be spent somehow recovering that ROI. We don't need to do that, right? So we can be very careful, very selective, and that's really what we've done. So I would say we're further along with the venture fund as well in terms of how we're set up, how we kind of have our, you know, our deal flow, for the lack of a better expression, set up, kind of the other ecosystems that we're partnered up with. So we're kind of further along on the venture side as well. Gotcha. The academy and the enterprise platform are already being built out for our own consumption within the Tantra ecosystem, mm-hmm. right? And so as those mature out based on our own needs, at some point when we think, okay, there's enough of this set up as an offering for non-Tantra partners, we'll start opening it up to the marketplace. Mm-hmm. In terms of domains, to answer your question, it just, you know, I mean, frankly, just having spent a good part of my last 30 years in the fintech space, you know, there's kind of a huge, what I would call, you know, a network over there. And, you know, I get to see interesting things practically across, you know, both developed, emerging markets, you know, innovation kind of ecosystems in India and Singapore. And, you know, we have partners in Israel. So we just have a tremendous kind of, I would say, inbound. Both, right? For there are companies which are looking for engineering support from small, medium to large. There are companies which are just looking for an interesting partner to build their concept out. Sure. And frankly, the entrepreneur in me always sees the glass as half full. So I actually need all of my colleagues at Tantra to constantly hold me back, saying, okay, you know, this makes sense. No, Mehul, this one does not. Okay, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. But yes, I mean, you know, how do we source it? Really, we source our engagements, whether it's for engineering or any other line of business, largely through our expert mentor domain network, right? All the folks that we list out as our mentors in the Tantra ecosystem, you know, if you go to tantra.io, you'll kind of see a list of folks over there. Each one has, like me, spent a lot of time in their domain, and each one has their own global network. And essentially, as we bring all of this in, it kind of works both ways, right? We have the domain depth that we can tap into. So let's say we see an interesting health tech thing. I'm not a health tech person, but I have a health tech domain expert. I can immediately bring him in and I could say, look, can you qualify this? Does it make sense? What should we do here? Same way, if he sees something, let's say, which needs engineering support, you know, he can then push it towards Tantra as well. So that network works for us, once again, both ways.
Gotcha. Makes sense. And the serial entrepreneur in you definitely needs the reins at some point, right? To be reeled in. You can't do everything yourself, bringing the experts.
Not just that. And we need the checks and balances. And, you know, that's the main reason why we have these organized as five different businesses. Yeah. Clearly, where it becomes, in my mind, unique is when all five come together, regardless of the vertical. I mean, we're focused on these five verticals today. Arguably, once we kind of get the platform and the ecosystem kind of humming along across all five, and I think we're almost there, but give it another 12 months or so, we could easily add more verticals to it. But right now we said, look, let's focus on these five verticals. It gives us more than enough to kind of work with. Let's focus on these five regions. You know, I get asked like you, I get asked by friends saying that, you know, why aren't you in Africa? And, you know, what do you have against South America? And I'm like, I have nothing against Africa and South America. It's just that I think we've got our hands full with where we're working right now. But if something comes up, you know, I've deployed technology in the past in South America. I have worked in Africa as well. So I love every part of the world. Right now, I just think that we're kind of set up well. We've got enough to work with. And clearly, as opportunities come in, we would, you know, love to support folks all around the world.
Yeah. It sounds like from our conversations, there's been a lot of challenges that you guys are focusing in on. Obviously, getting the platform live, getting the academy live, potentially opening up to new geographic regions, but, you know, really focusing on the US, EU, Singapore, Asia, India, Japan, right? What is the biggest challenge? What is the biggest challenge that you guys are facing right now, besides like getting the platforms live? Like, what are you facing right now as a business?
So personally, the beauty of every business that I've had an opportunity to build, the part, if you ask me, that I enjoy the most, comes down to really two things. It's kind of solving for whatever problem is on hand. And two, it's the interactions, right? The folks that I'm huddled with, the team in the trenches, and which is why I'm very careful in terms of who I work with, because in many ways, that is the one commodity, the time that I have with people that I interact with, that is the only commodity that is finite. Everything else can come and go. The time that you and I have together is limited. And so I want to be extremely careful about who I spend my time with. And then frankly, at some level, Max, if the outcome does not kind of work out, let's say the way we wanted it to be, that's fine, because the time we spent solving for the challenge on hand and the time that we spent interacting with the people that we enjoy interacting with was all plus plus, right? And so coming to your question, as Tantra, frankly, on the solutioning side of this, I don't see any challenge at all. Right. And as I've said this in the past to a lot of people, especially friends and colleagues who ask me about Tantra like you, I always tell them that, look, Tantra, yes, it's a unique innovation ecosystem, but at some level, it's almost like my sandbox, saying that when I see something interesting and let's say I want to build it out, okay, I want an engineering team that I can turn it over to, or I want an incubation team that I can turn it over to, or a venture fund that I can direct it to. Right. And it's not just me, by the way. Everyone that we have brought into Tantra, our mentors, our partners, they all have a need for their own sandbox. So in that sense, is there, unlike, let's say, some of the product ideas that I've worked in the past, I don't feel the pressure of time here. I don't feel a pressure of outcome here. You know, if this isn't one of those things saying that, look, I need to get this thing built in 12 months, because then I have to spin it and I have to pivot and I have to sell it and I need an exit. With Tantra, because it's a sandbox, frankly, it can take forever and we'll just keep building it. As long as I can build all five pieces, clearly we're focused on profitability, efficiency. You know, these things are critical for ensuring that we can scale it and obviously continue to have fun with it. So this is not to say that we're taking our eyes off the profitability ball, but in that sense, this is not a product. This is not something which is going to see end of life. This is something which, in my opinion, is there for us to use for life. Now, whether it's me today or someone else wants to come in tomorrow and take over and work with this whole kind of sandbox, okay, she or he can choose to do whatever they want to do with it. But so in that sense, I don't see a challenge in terms of I need to get this built. And in the next 12 months, if I don't go to 5 markets, I'm falling behind the curve. I do not see that challenge. When it comes to interaction, yes, okay, the quest for finding more and more people that we can interact with, collaborate with, philosophically align with, so that we can scale more efficiently, that quest is an ongoing one. And so to solve for that, we have our own academy, okay, which solves for it to a certain extent. I wouldn't say that that solves everything. But if I had to kind of say that what is the one challenge, it's always people, right? So the part that I enjoy in every business is the interaction with people. The part that I find to be challenging, using your term, is finding the right people. And you know, for every new interaction that we set up, you know, it is a trial and error, right? I mean, when you go into it, you say, okay, you know what, this makes sense. And then many a times it works out, sometimes it doesn't. It's always 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And you know, for all the right reasons, nothing against anyone, but you know, for everything to align and for that magic to happen, it takes a lot. And so just like every other company out there, especially every other entrepreneur out there, I would tell you that probably the one challenge is finding the right people, finding that right chemistry, finding that right philosophy, and then making sure that we're all excited about the same thing. And when that happens, I know I've experienced it, it's magical.
Love it. So it sounds like really unique kind of opportunity to leverage the organization, leverage the fund, leverage the teams, leverage a platform, kind of all in one stop. And it sounds like a lot of fun, to be honest. I mean,
if you ask me, I'm having a lot of fun with it. Now, you know, you would have to ask my colleagues and others, you know, maybe in their case, maybe not so much, but I would like to believe that we're all enjoying ourselves. And really that's kind of where I am now looking back. Like I said earlier, it's not so much the individual product ideas, which are personally exciting. Don't get me wrong. In no way am I trying to say that I've done it all, okay, or I've seen it all, okay. But it's just that having done this few times over, you know, having seen some of them work, some of them not, I kind of am at a point saying that, look, I would love to build a platform which can do innovation in an efficient way, which can do innovation in a sustainable way. You know, in my experience, with all due respect to everyone who is innovating out there, innovation largely kind of still comes down to throwing a bunch of things at the wall and seeing what sticks, right? And then whatever sticks, you and I, we kind of double down on that, saying, okay, let's work backwards, let's figure out why this worked, and let's make sure we keep doing all the right things over and over again. And, you know, that's really, in my case, what led to Tantra. I said, look, there has to be a different way of doing this. I don't know if it's better or not, but I absolutely am having lots of fun trying to figure out how to do it differently.
So we are a marketing company. So I definitely need to ask, as we focus on like content marketing, you know, you have like a really unique offering. Obviously, this is something that I'm not familiar with. So tell me, I guess, a little bit about like the marketing strategy. Like, how are you educating prospective customers? I'm just kind of curious to understand, like, how does marketing play a role in helping the organization, this, you know, the unique platform you've built, like, stand out against any competition that might be doing this as well?
So, look, so far, Max, I would say it's really just come down to our own network, not just me alone, but, you know, all my partners and colleagues that I have, the mentor, the experts, and so on, that are involved in Tantra. And we are over, I want to say almost over 120, 130 people around the world, maybe close to 150 through our kind of extended ecosystem. So there, you know, you and I are talking about Tantra, but there are lots of folks, you know, behind us who are doing all of this day in and day out. And so, so far we have not yet kind of, you know, we've not gone down the path of conventional marketing per se. Through our network, we've just found lots of interesting things to do across all 5 lines of business. That said, one of the things that we enjoy doing, and not, I would say, not for the sake of marketing, but kind of partly as an outlet for ourselves, is we do try and put out interesting collateral. You know, personally, I've had an opportunity to work on 2 books. both kind of in the mobile money space. So we, you know, I co-authored a book several years ago, which was published like a regular hardcover book. And then I kind of followed up on that thematically with another book, which I published as an all digital book. And so I kind of, I found that to be kind of, again, part therapeutic, and just part kind of getting all my thoughts right. So at Tantra, we do put out blogs, we put out white papers. Actually, last year, we started hosting a podcast series, again, with folks who, you know, we worked with, people that I know. And so we're kind of trying to do, we're trying to put interesting things out that we believe will help our constituents, our ecosystem at large, the stakeholders, you know, customers, partners, whoever we engage with. But, you know, clearly, is that enough? No, there's just so much more that can be done. That said, I do believe that at some point, we will have to kind of start looking at more structured biz dev, marketing, sales approaches, especially as different parts of the business start to scale up. But if you ask me so far, that's kind of what we've done. That's what we've built upon, what we've leveraged. And, you know, the last 2-3 years have been largely formative. So, you know, while I've been doing a lot of things that we're doing at Tantra for now 30 years, as a company, we're relatively young, except for me, everyone else at Tantra is very young. And you know, as we kind of go into this next phase of growth, yep. You know, things could definitely start to look different.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, as the enterprise SaaS platform is being built and ramped up, you're going to need to inform, obviously, your network, your domain experts, people to kind of get the word out as well. But you're going to have to do a little bit more outbound messaging as well and informing of the market about this platform and seeing how that compares to other people within the space or within the market you guys might be competing with as well. So it definitely makes sense why you'd have a little bit more focus in sales development here in the future, where today is a little bit more on networking and referrals too. So what's
very that, true, very true.
Yeah. What's something that, like, you know, a year from now, like, that you want to be celebrating? Like, it could be something, you know, from the organization, you know, launching, you know, the platform or having the academy have a certain amount of people enrolled within it. You know, what is that one thing that you're hoping to solve for and to celebrate within a year?
So actually, all five lines of business have their own targets. As I said earlier, you know, this sounds a little bit esoteric and somewhat fluid, but when it comes to, you know, organizing the business, it is kind of as disciplined as you know, I guess we can be. So engineering has its own targets in terms of how it's growing. It's been growing 100% year on year for the last, you know, now almost 3 years, and we see no reason why it cannot keep up that same trajectory. The venture fund, like I said, you know, we don't want any pressure there. You know, we will kind of go by where we see interesting opportunities, you know, and wherever we see that alignment, as I explained earlier, we're going to let that drive the pace. I mean, if you ask me at the end of the day, if I'm just working with 10 companies on the venture side, I have nothing against it. As long as we are aligned well, we're doing justice to the innovation on hand. And obviously, we all can kind of take it towards some kind of successful launch, scale, exit, you know, whatever that outcome, you know, needs to look like. As far as the academy is concerned, in the next 12 months, we will have it mature to a point where we will start offering it up to, you know, other verticals. So today, since last year, almost, I would say since inception, but last year, we really stepped up the work on the academy. We've already graduated 3 cohorts in the academy, all for our own requirements. And so now this year, the next 12 months will largely focus on kind of maturing the platform, the mentorship, the content, all of the different things which kind of make up the academy, the engines which drive it, because there is a platform at play. We're looking at maturing all of that out. And in the next 12 to 18 months, I would be very happy if we can start offering up the academy to the outside world, mm-hmm. saying, Max, for right for me. If you need to build people, saying, you know, you're X people today and you need to grow exponentially, please, you know, why don't you subscribe and use my academy? I would love to bring it to every vertical, right? And for me, that's the sign of maturity, saying that it's no longer vertical driven. It's agnostic to the vertical, sure. because the underlying kind of platform and the way the content mentorship models work, you could apply it to your vertical, you know, based on the way we've designed and built it. And then the same for the platform. I think the platform has few other modules, and so it will take a little longer to mature and put it out there. So I guess for all five businesses, it's a little different. Right now, I'm happy with the five markets that we're in. I'm perfectly fine with the five verticals that we're playing in. So there is really no immediate need for us to expand the market footprint or even the vertical footprint. I think we've got enough on our hands. But really, the next 12 to 24 months, we'll be maturing these one or two other parts of the business. And at that point, I think, as I mentioned earlier, you know, all five lines of business across five verticals in five markets are humming along well.
Well, you guys definitely have a lot going on and a lot of exciting things for sure. It sounds like it's a really interesting and exciting time to be a part of the ecosystem and to be a part of Duntra. And, you know, you mentioned you have your own podcast. I'd love it if you could spend just a minute plugging that. Where can people find you specifically? You know, how can people find the organization? How can people get a hold of you guys? You know, I want to give you the floor to kind of ensure that everyone knows how to get a hold of you guys.
Sure. No, thank you. I appreciate that. So the best place to find Duntra is online. If you go to duntra.io, so that's www.tntra.io. That will, you know, open up into everything that I've just talked about, including the podcast. So the podcast, they're all out there. You know, it's not sitting behind a paywall or any of that stuff. Again, our idea is to just kind of put these conversations out there for folks to kind of listen in on, and, you know, hopefully they'll, you know, get something interesting and meaningful out of it. The collateral is out there as well, the blogs, the white papers, you know, all of that. So duntra.io is probably the best place for folks to go to. As far as I'm concerned, I'm on LinkedIn. It's Mehul Desai on LinkedIn. I have kind of my own portfolio, for the lack of a better term, which is desai.co. So that's www.dezai.co. And I've kind of tried to, you know, put a snapshot of all the different activities that I'm involved in, ventures I'm involved in. You know, I've set up a couple foundations. I try and find ways to give back. So all the different things that I feel strongly about, I've tried to kind of pack it in.
Perfect. We won't judge you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put that link in the description as well as the LinkedIn and your website as well, where people can find you. Are you going to be at any events? I know you're based in Florida. Are you going to be traveling around? Just kind of curious to see, like, if there's, you know, any places where people can see you physically.
Yeah, so we're not quite yet out there hitting kind of the conference circuits, and we're not really doing that. I want to say only because everyone is just super busy with the task on hand. But at some point, we'll kind of start putting ourselves out there, you know, in these kinds of forums. Personally, I will be traveling. I now live in Florida, as I said earlier, but I have colleagues across all of these markets. And so frankly, depending on your audience and their interest, once they kind of reach out to us, we will immediately engage with them and we'll kind of guide them down to whatever market vertical or, you know, whatever line of business is most relevant.
Makes sense. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure if there's anything you guys were going to be doing here in the near future that people can find you guys and make sure they have a conversation. But in the meantime, you know, there's you know, the website, there's your LinkedIn profile, your own personal website where people can get a hold of you. And, you know, I really appreciate you taking time to help us to understanding a little bit more about Duntra and, you know, how you guys are rethinking product development, creating like a whole ecosystem around product development. So I definitely feel like I have a better understanding about what you guys are up to. And I appreciate your time and helping me out and explaining this. And I definitely enjoyed it. And I appreciate you being a part of the Business Ninjas podcast.
No, again, Max, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for reaching out and the opportunity to speak to you and your audience. And, you know, very much look forward to coming back to you, you know, periodically and kind of just giving you more and more updates. So, no,
yeah,
look forward
to
the continuing association. Yep.
Definitely. We'd love to have you back. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mehul. And yeah, that wraps up another episode of the Business Ninjas podcast. Everyone have a great rest of the day.
Hey. Are you a business ninja? Want to be interviewed like this? Give us a shout. Go to www.writeforme.io, WRITEFORME.io, and schedule a time to meet with us, and we'll make it happen. Keep slaying it, y'all.